It's been 1 year since Dikru Tan and Gina Yeager took off in the Voyager aircraft and flew nonstop around the world, 26,000 miles, without refueling. On Monday, the plane went on permanent display at the Smithsonian's Air and Space Museum. Rutan and Yeager have written a book, Voyager, that tells the story of their historic 9-day flight and chronicles the years of planning, building, and testing the plane. The strange-looking lightweight aircraft was designed by Dick's brother Bert and was built by hand by a group of volunteers.
Big business could not have done this project. It would have taken too much money. There was too many compromises. We broke a lot of general aviation practices, rules, if you would, not laws, but rules. We took a lot more risks than any corporation would stand. They have to have certain safety factors in the way they go about their business. And too much compromise, too many committees.
Could you describe the basic design principle of the Voyager?
Design an airplane that was very aerodynamically efficient. And that was quite a challenge. And doing that, we ended up with a lot of compromises in controllability, comfort, flying qualities, noise. So it was an extreme compromise. It was a very strange airplane. That's why we brought it on a truck to the Smithsonian instead of flying it back here.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's a state-of-the-art design on the outside. But in the inside, in the cockpit, you had to live absolutely primitively.
That would probably be a...
An understatement?
Well... Primitive would probably be an understatement. That's true. It was very primitive. Everything in that thing was for the lightness and the efficiency, and nothing with creature comforts whatsoever.
Well, why don't you describe what the cockpit was like?
Well, the cockpit itself, the seat where the pilot sat, was a semi-supine arrangement, kind of like an easy chair, except there wasn't any cushions or anything. The other off-duty crew member was beside in kind of a little long, narrow tube, if you would, for a bed area where you could lay down flat, and we had to change positions from one to the other as we traded off crew duty.
Gina, what was it like when you had to trade positions? How would you do it, since there was so little space to maneuver?
It was a real scamper.
That's what we call, it wasn't impossible, but very close to it. It was, basically, I'd get as close to the front as I could, and Dick would pass in behind me, and I'd slip over his legs and onto the pilot seat. And it was reverse action for the opposite. It was a real shuffle there for a few minutes.
I feel a little uncomfortable bringing it up, but considering how cramped you were, what did you do for toileting on the Voyager?
Gina's pointed at me. She doesn't like to talk about it.
Is this an okay thing to bring up?
Well, I'll answer any question that somebody has enough courage to ask. There was just a funnel with a tube that handled the urine. The defecation was handled in a special bag that was used that's used in all hospitals, so it's very common, actually.
Dick, in your book about the Voyager, you write that, unlike Gina, that you hated and you feared the plane.
Well, I did. I had a terrible premonition. I didn't like its flying qualities. I didn't enjoy flying the airplane. It was work. I had this premonition it was going to kill me. So I was very apprehensive about the airplane, and we had trouble flying the airplane locally because of just local turbulence. And in the back of my mind all the time, I kept thinking, I got to fly this thing around the world, and there's terrible weather out there. How are we going to handle that? And it was an overriding fear that grated on my soul for about 3 years before the flight, and it was kind of tough to deal with. It took a lot of in me to get into that airplane each time. I didn't like it.
Gina, when Dick would tell you about his premonition, would you feel that kind of premonition too, or would you try to talk him out of his?
No, I felt very strong that the project was going to be a go. And I never really looked for excuses to get out of it or reasons to quit. I had intended to do the project, and I intended to give every effort to make it a go.
One of the things that you say, Dick, about the Voyager is that it reasserted the importance of the pilot. I mean, you had to be a really skilled pilot to manipulate this plane around storms and through mountains. What is one of the maneuvers while you were flying around the world that you're most proud of?
Well, the airplane was very difficult. I felt that every time I flew it that I had to draw on 30 years of flying experience to bring it to a success. And I don't know, getting it through Africa was probably one of the things that I finally got across the African continent and through that horrible weather. and found that we were over the Atlantic Ocean at last and still alive, and it was quite an emotional experience for me, probably the most emotional one of the whole flight.
It was an emotional and physical experience. Gina, you were really sick during that part of the flight. You had a terrible migraine headache. You were throwing up during part of it, yet you were also at the controls during part of it.
No, it was necessary for the survival of it. I had started out the project with a cold, and unfortunately when we went to altitude, I wasn't absorbing enough of the oxygen. We had regulated and figured our needs, and as we got to altitude and with the cold, I just didn't have quite enough, so I was having a hard time. But Dick was going into a very fatigued state, and it was necessary to take over at that point. And he was in worse shape than I was.
Gina, I got the impression that throughout the flight that you were the one who kept kind of saying, we can do it, we have to do it, we have to... that you kept trying to rejuvenate both your spirits and Dick's spirits throughout the flight.
There were times when I decide I'm going to do something, I'm going to stay with it. And I had a strong premonition, instinct, whatever, that kept telling me that this was going to happen, and we just had to keep trying. And I kept forging that way and hoping Dick would stay with me.
Was there a moment during the flight around the world when you knew that you had it made, when you were in the clear and it was going to work?
I can remember seeing the lights of Los Angeles slip underneath the nose that morning just before we landed, and the realization that we had really done this thing. That's Los Angeles again, and we're home, we made it. And then finally, coming across that cloud bank and looking down at Edwards Air Force Base and seeing as many thousands of people on the dry lake was just something you couldn't describe. It's something we never expected, or it was something we were never aware of at all.
I never really considered the flight over until we had the airplane roll to a stop. And then when you get out and you realize, finally, that all this hard work and everyone's efforts, everything had finally come together. The record had been achieved. You know, it was very proud and very exhilarating and very special moment for all of us.
Do you still love to fly? I mean, you really had your fill on that flight.
Well, the Voyager did, the Voyager aircraft itself did almost instill a fear of flying with me that I had to work on a little bit. And no, I've overcome that problem. As soon as the Voyager landed and rolled to a stop, I was 100% shape again with no problem, knowing that I wouldn't have to get back in it again. And it would go to its final resting place on a truck, and we could all be proud of it that way.
Gina, what about you? Did you experience any fear of flying after the flight? Do you still enjoy flying?
Well, I still very much enjoy flying. I just finishing up another part of my goal, one of my life goals of getting back to the helicopter. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to learn a little bit and have soloed in the helicopter, and now looking for a little extra time and go back and get the full rating.
After you completed the Voyager flight, did you ever sit in the Voyager again? Did you ever go back into the plane?
I don't think I ever did. All of us that were involved in this thing, we lived this thing daily. Every little part of it we developed and put together and built and agonized and tested. And every time we'd come back from a test flight, we'd have all kinds of things wrong with the airplane. Some things that would fail, some things that we had to modify, some things that we had to improve. And that was our life for 2.5 years. And we landed out in that dry lake that day. I grabbed those guys and I says, you know something? There's still a lot of things wrong with this airplane. But you know what's neat? We don't have to fix any of them. The Smithsonian said we want it just exactly the way it was when it landed. So when you go and visit it in the Smithsonian, you'll see the oil streaks on the bottom. And you'll still see, if you look closely, a strange yellow streak from the cockpit going back. Nothing was cleaned off the airplane. It's exactly the way it was when it landed. Everything that was broke then is still broke, and we didn't fix anything.
What is that yellow streak?
That's part of the, there's a little tube sticking out there that was a urine extraction tube, so. <I don't know. laughs> That was a strange thing. But anyway, like I'm saying, it was right the way it was. Nobody looked at it anymore. They just bundled it up and sent it to the Smithsonian.
Okay, well, Gina Yeager, Dick Rutan, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
You bet.
Thank
My
you.
Pleasure.
Rutan and Yeager's new book, Voyager, is published by Knopf. The Voyager aircraft is now on permanent display at the National Air and Space Museum.